Well, good afternoon, everyone. Again, I'm Nadia Siddiqui. I'm with the Texas Health Institute, and today I'll be presenting on emerging lessons and promising practices for safety net hospitals transformation. What are examples, models, emerging lessons that can inform safety net systems and take them from, hopefully, from a surviving position to one where they're thriving. So I hope we're able to today share with you some lessons and experiences from across the country. I do want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dennis Andrulis, Lauren Jenke, and Swapna Reddy. It was, a team effort on the part of the Texas Health Institute. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'd like to start by just setting a little bit of the context to this study and to the findings that I'm going to present today. At the Texas Health Institute, we've been monitoring the Affordable Care Act from what we call a health equity lens since 2010, since enactment. In 2010, we released our Maroon report that covered over 60 provisions in the law and presented what are the opportunities, the implications of the Affordable Care Act for racially, ethnically diverse, for low income, and other vulnerable population groups. The report really honed in on, there were five priority areas, I would say, that we organized our review around. It was really around the health insurance marketplace and its implications, workforce, healthcare professional related issues, public health and prevention, quality and research, and the final area was safety net systems and transformations. Some more research that came out of that work, a health affairs article that documented, what are the opportunities and risks that this new law presents for safety net systems. And so that's really set, I would say, the backdrop and the context for the study that the Blue Shield of California Foundation funded and supported for us. So our previous work on the ACA and safety net systems really led us to reaffirm the fact that safety net systems really are standing at a crossroads. There are certainly many new opportunities that the law presents, particularly in terms of the newly insured through Medicaid expansion in states that have expanded through health insurance marketplaces. There are many new opportunities to bring in these newly insured, new paying patients. The law also creates many opportunities for these systems to test and to innovate and implement electronic health records, to delivery and payment related reforms, and really begin to push forward around transformation. On the other hand, however, there are a whole host of challenges that have been created, both in efforts to adapt to this new environment as well as presented by the law itself. And that includes keeping up with competition. How do safety net systems that traditionally and historically have cared for low-income, uninsured, Medicaid populations, how do these systems really compete now to keep, to attract, retain these new paying patients that, say, other hospitals in the region may also be competing for? So competition is a big concern. There's also competition in terms of how do you keep up with delivery and payment reform when resources oftentimes are so limited at many of these settings. And so how do they keep up with that level of competition and pace? There's, of course, the very mission of safety net hospital systems, which is to serve the uninsured and low income. And so there's that patient population that they're going to continue to serve. And then underlying all of this are the many financial challenges, payment reductions, the new penalties around readmissions, avoidable hospitalizations that many are seeing are disproportionately impacting, in many cases, systems that really serve racially, ethnically diverse, low-income populations. So that is really the context with which we started our study and really looked at, well, how are safety net hospital systems adapting to this? What are they doing to compete, to attract and retain new patients? And so the objective of our study, the report that came out in February 2015, Safety Net Hospital Systems Transformation, the Era of Reform, looked at experiences, lessons, and perspectives from 13 safety net systems across the country. Our objective was to identify how these systems, varying financially, so our objective was not just to look at leading systems, which oftentimes, you know, it can be hard to relate to. Our objective was to look at systems across the spectrum to identify how they're adapting and responding. And so what I will hope to share today are experiences, lessons, some of the emerging strategies, as well as what these systems identified as looming challenges and questions moving forward. The study was explicitly intended to offer a reference, a source for California-based systems, especially as they were working at that time to gear up for the renewal of their DSRIP, their waiver transformation program. And so, and I just heard the news, congrats to California folks in the room, that it sounds like that's going to move forward in some scope. In terms of the design, it really was a qualitative study based off of a review of the literature, a review of hospital-based programs from across the country, and interviews with hospital executives, in most part, chief executive officers, CMOs, CFOs, from 13 hospital systems. How we identified these systems, we really started, our focus initially was on public hospitals, and so we started with America's Essential Hospitals. Criteria really was to look at systems that may resemble California dynamics, so Medicaid systems located in Medicaid expansion states. We were trying to inform systems, you know, that could really benefit from such guidance, maybe not leading in the area, so we were really looking at systems with high Medicaid and self-pay mix of patients. So this was our final. There were about 15 or so America's Essential Hospitals, public hospitals, that qualified for our study based on our criteria, of which 10 agreed to participate. And then there were a few other safety net providers that we did contact purely based on qualitative review of information and practices that were coming out from some of these systems around the collaborations they forged. And so we talked to, you know, to try to add perspective, a rural perspective, add clinical, hospital, community center related relationship dynamics as well. So this gives you a sense. This map is from 2014, which is when we conducted our study, fall 2014, and you can see the stars are the systems we focused on in Medicaid expansion states. So what did we find? What are promising ways in which safety net systems are adapting to the new healthcare environment? So our first finding really was the fact that systems are beginning to turn the dial, and this is one of the quotes from one of the executives in the hospital systems. They're turning away more and more from fee-for-service, from value-based payments, to rewarding population health outcomes, so to value-based payment systems. Nearly all providers are making this shift. All of the systems we spoke to either shared an intention to move away from fee-for-service or mentioned they're already in the process. Now, what was interesting to learn and what others are really talking about as this transformation occurs is what's termed this two-canoe situation, where it's not going to happen overnight. And the challenge that systems are finding where they're at right now is they're really in two canoes that are almost going in opposite directions. And one is, we've got to maintain the fee-for-service because we have to protect our bottom line. And without that fee-for-service coming in, those dollars coming in to protect our bottom line, we really can't move toward population health and focusing on quality and related initiatives. And so that was something that really was came out clear from these conversations. Many are moving toward accountable care arrangements. Some are really taking many innovative steps, moving towards social accountable care organization type arrangements, where it's not only that you're holding a hospital and its patients' care accountability, but it's really how can we be accountable as organizations, hospitals, health centers, social service organizations for an entire community. And so in Minnesota, for example, Hennepin and their social accountable care organization was one model that came up. Other interesting arrangements where the health insurance company actually is being taken out of the equation and providers are partnering with businesses, so Boeing and UW and what's happening with Harborview in Washington. Redesigning primary care was a second key finding where it's really now these systems are focusing on patients. How do we organize care around patients and families? And so patient-centered medical homes was really identified as the foundation to move into any other kind of sophisticated delivery-related transformation. So if they're looking forward at accountable care organizations, they know that they need to really get their medical homes set up and accredited and so forth before they can move to that next level. Also in redesigning primary care, this notion of integrated behavioral health has become a key priority. There are many models that we feature in our report from Hennepin and Cambridge Health Alliance. Team-based care approaches, also key to the medical home model and to reorganizing primary care. And this focus on social determinants of health was really now a movement and a move that these systems are making. Responding to competition was another third key priority and focus for these systems, where there was a strong sense that survival and success will depend on these systems' ability to compete for, attract, and retain paying patients. And so many strategies that folks identified multi-pronged approach to building and responding to competition. Many have really focused on outreach and enrollment and taken this on as a really key role to bring in newly insured into their system. Building on their expertise, many of these systems have been historical providers of culturally and linguistically appropriate services, and this is a reason why many come to them. And so building on that level of expertise. Rebranding is something we're seeing among safety net systems and to become providers of choice. Again, this focus on social determinants of health, where the actions that they're beginning to take really focus on how do we focus on patients' root causes for why they're here. And so there are creative programs coming out, for example, Boston Medical Center's poverty simulation that they require of all their pediatric residents. A key, again, also to responding to competition is collaboration, where these systems identify that they are collaborating now out of necessity. Many safety net systems cited that this, collaboration has been difficult with other providers, with other clinics, and health centers. To some degree it occurs, but to other degrees it's just not happening. And so this is where many and most, I would say, of these executives mentioned that we have to collaborate. We are creating collaborations out of necessity. And leadership, finally, was a really important consideration that came out from our findings, where without transformational championing leadership that doesn't maintain the organization in the static but really moves it forward with the times, recognizes the times, was transformational. And some of these institutions that have really come out and move forward with transformation are those that have had transformational leadership and support, that have reassessed their strategic focus and mission to try to respond to the changing times. So with that, I'd encourage you, I have copies of our executive summary from the report. We also did look at delivery system transformation programs coming out of Medicaid 1115 waiver programs. And so I will pause there and hand it over to our moderator. Yes. Thank you.